and we'll celebrate it this evening with a delicious bouillabaisse. I had originally set off in search of the historical roots of the olive tree in the autumn of 2001. At that time, my marriage was hanging together by the slenderest of threads, and I had intended that the journey put some distance between me and the solitary experience life on our French olive farm had become for me. I had flown to what I had hoped would be the ideal base, the Levant, nudging the cradle of Western civilization to a strip of Mediterranean coast divided today into Lebanon and Syria. It was September 2001. Needless to say, I never reached my destinations. Back in Europe, the world in shock, I set my project aside, and as events unfolded and the Middle East grew less stable, all plans for those travels were stuffed into a file I might have entitled Trips I Will Never Take. It disappointed me. I had grown excited by the idea of tracing the olive and its culture back to its inception, to see how the trading of it had influenced the personality, the topography of the Mediterranean. My Mediterranean. Our Mediterranean. But it was not to be. War was imminent. I am neither correspondent nor political journalist. The Middle East was no place for me. Or so I had decided. But fate had other tricks in store. When Tony Blair stood alongside George W. Bush and declared his intention to take British troops into Iraq, I flew to London and marched in protest. I remember that Saturday afternoon clearly. Friends and I were nudging the nib of the rally and so arrived early at the finishing stage in Hyde Park. Deed done, my pals drove home, while I retraced my steps, walking the line of protesters, stopping at the Royal Academy in Piccadilly to tour an exhibition. When I emerged into the afternoon sunlight a couple of hours later, the procession was still taxiing forward in upbeat spirits towards the park. The numbers were impressive. I was optimistic. But the Sunday papers the following day reported the figures of attendance short of the reality, diminishing in the eyes of Britain an opposition that had spoken out resoundingly, yet peacefully. I was dismayed. A considerable proportion of city windows were flying anti-war stickers. But the protests went unheard. The weapons of mass destruction argument had won the day. War on Iraq was declared. The history books tell the rest. I returned to France, to the farm. Nonetheless, the reportage coming in from the Middle East troubled me, as much as it did everyone else who had resisted the intervention. And I began to feel depressed by the destruction and my impotence. On a personal level, the marital challenges Michelle and I had confronted were resolving themselves. I felt no need to flee my life, but I felt an urgent need to return to the Eastern Mediterranean to learn the secrets of the olive tree. The project I had shelved remained in my mind. A terrific adventure. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity I had given up on. And then, quite out of the blue, I received a letter from a complete stranger living in Australia. The sender had read of my passion for olives and had sent a photograph that portrayed him standing within a hollowed-out olive tree in Lebanon. What really grabbed my attention was that he claimed the tree was 6,000 years old. If I had been without commitments, I would have jumped on a plane to Beirut that very morning. Instead, I pulled down my boxes, rummaged through the paperwork, and reconsidered my route in earnest. I searched everywhere to find out the whereabouts of that Lebanese old-timer, but without success.